This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
I wonder how Kurt's doing. The Warrior season's come to an end.
Yeah, probably not handling it great. That Julius Randle, he's a little runt.
He was not a little runt in this series.
Rudy Gobert, he's a runt.
Oh.
7-1. Eiffel Tower.
Playing in the Western Conference Finals for the second consecutive year.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
yeah. But I don't know, Mark. The more I start to pick through not only this series, but the season in totality, I'm less disappointed than I thought I would be. It sucks that it's over, and you always want to win a championship, but what they did from where they were, and we just were talking about the loss to Sacramento, and you could pick out any number of low spots.
A lot of them.
And it looked like they were going to be a 10 seed and they were going to have to do something they've never done before, which is win a play-in game and get the 8 to only get rolled by OKC. It didn't look like the prospects were that positive. No. And then you got Jimmy Butler and everything changed. But even then, I still didn't think that this was going to be a championship roster or a championship run. So the fact that they got by Houston and then you got into the Minnesota series, that for me is, it's satisfactory. I'm okay with it.
Well, it was a question that, I don't know if you brought it up, and it just happened to be standing, you had already talked about it, or if they brought it up during the crossover, but essentially, do you think the season was a success?
Yeah.
And you and I both immediately said, yeah, success,
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. But I still leave disappointed, even though it was a success, because I felt like there was an opportunity for more. And I didn't necessarily feel that way like at the beginning of the postseason. But the way everything played out this postseason, Dibs, and maybe the one point against this is that it took the Warriors 7 games in the first round. I probably would have felt a whole lot better had they taken care of business versus the Rockets in 5 or in 6 games versus having to fly back to Houston for Game 7, then fly straight to Minnesota for Game 1 coming up a couple of days right after that. But really, going into that Minnesota series, Steph playing the way he was before he got hurt, the Warriors having that double-digit lead, Minnesota kind of looking a little bit rusty, Warriors, you know, a good start to steal home court advantage. If Steph doesn't get hurt, Dibs, I was really beginning to feel like the Warriors could have won the championship. Not like saying it was a lock and that it absolutely was going to happen, but if Steph's healthy, I think they beat Minnesota. It's probably a 3-2 Warrior lead in the series right now. That's my opinion. Maybe you disagree.
Yeah, I do disagree.
It wouldn't be 3-2 Warriors if Steph was healthy?
I think it'd be 3-2 Minnesota.
Okay.
I think that the way Minnesota played, even if you had Steph Curry, they were going to be tough to beat. Minnesota has been that good. And it was a one-sided situation because the Warriors didn't have Steph Curry. But I'm trying to give as much credit to Minnesota for just how well they played, especially over the last couple of games.
They impressed me a whole lot more games 4 and 5 than they did the first 3 games of the series.
I agree with that.
Game 1, man, I was down on Minnesota big time. Game 2, They got off to the good start. The Warriors, though, without Steph, came all the way back to within 7 in the third quarter. Don't know if the Warriors would have won that without Steph. Probably not, but I guarantee you the Warriors would have won Game 3 with Steph Curry. Game 4, hard to tell exactly. Game 5, hard to tell. But if I was a betting man, I'd say it'd be 3-2 Warriors at this point if Steph Curry was healthy. And then you look at some of what's happened on the other half of the Western playoffs with OKC and Denver, and Game 6 in Denver is about 50 minutes away from tip-off. OKC can close out Denver in Denver today with a win. I'm not a huge believer in Denver. I didn't even think they were going to beat the Clippers. They've already proven me wrong, and they've hung really tough with OKC. OKC hasn't been as impressive as I thought they were going to be. I would give the Warriors a puncher's chance if they were healthy against either of those two teams. And then if they happen to get out of that series, Dibs, and go all the way to the finals, it almost doesn't even matter to me who's coming out of the East. I would pick the Warriors to beat all those teams.
If Boston had Tatum healthy, that might be different.
But that's factored in here.
Sure.
One, I don't expect Boston to win that series. And two, if Boston is there without Tatum, I would pick the Warriors to win that series. So my disappointment comes from the fact that I believe that at my core, that they had a puncher's chance to actually win a championship. But I still consider this season a success, considering what it was headed for before the Jimmy Butler acquisition.
I guess the word I would use is unfulfilled. I was not fulfilled by the way it ended. And, you know, it's just injuries and it happens. But when you have a team go out and lose, like when they lost to the Lakers a couple years ago in 6, I was not happy because I hate the Lakers. But at least you went out there and you played and you had your team. And you beat the Kings in 7, which was awesome. And then you retired or whatever. The Lakers were just better, and you lost. And so you can be upset. But for me, at least it's fulfilling as a sports fan to watch your team play healthy, go out and compete, and you lose. And Lonnie Walker IV did what he did. And that's a name that will forever resonate with that series because...
Game 4, Lonnie Walker.
Performance out of nowhere. And, the Lakers won it, and they advanced, and... That's just the way that went. This one is unfulfilling because you lost your best player and then ostensibly you lost your chance. And also, he said today in his press availability that he was trending toward being ready on Sunday. So if you could have just gutted out that game 3 and prolonged it, then we'd be heading for one of the great games dramatically, drama-wise. Game 6, Steph coming back off an injury, Warriors backs against the wall, Chase Center, that would have been an absolutely electric moment at Chase. And so for that to not happen, that's why I'm unfulfilled.
No doubt. Unfulfilled is a good word. And if you missed it, the exact quote from Steph Curry, and actually we do have it here. I'll play it here in just a sec. Steph asked about any chance, I know it's pointless now considering that the season's over, but any chance you might have been able to play on Sunday in Game 6?
Everything was kind of aligned for Game 6. I had some testing to do, and who knows how that would have went because I hadn't gone live since Game 1. And first time dealing with this injury, I was pretty optimistic, but there were a couple more checkpoints to get through. But it's a great what if.
The great what if. That is correct. I don't know. Did you get home in time to watch tip-off? Of the game, or were you listening?
No,
I was listening on the radio. I was kind of taken aback because the game was televised on TNT. It was Brian Anderson and Stan Van Gundy. Stan Van, friend of the show.
Yep.
Stan Van essentially said right as the game was tipping off, I don't know if he had some inside information from the Warriors during pre-game conversations, pre-tip conversations, but he essentially said, really good chance that Steph's back if this goes to a Game 6 on Sunday. And at that point, we hadn't really heard anything super positive. We heard from Steve Kerr pregame yesterday that there was a possibility, but that was the most we had heard. So I was kind of surprised hearing that from Stan Van, but what Steph Curry said today kind of backs that up. If only the others could have gotten it done. All they had to do, Dibs, was win one of four games.
Just win 1 of 4.
And they couldn't get it done.
Yeah, and I think that Game 3 was the one that was most winnable. And, last night, you're going back to Minnesota, and the T-Wolves played great, so they get credit for that. And Game 2 was the tester game where Steve kind of threw everything at the wall to see what would stick and who could actually play.
Pat Spencer game.
Right. Pat had 9 in the second quarter. It's like, okay, let Pat cook. And Game three was the kind of rock fight that I thought suited them more, but then you get to game four and Steve Kerr was really exhorting his team to run and push. And I even asked him that earlier this week when we had him on, and he's like, no, up tempo is what we need to do. We need to try to score quickly in the half court before they set their defense. Yeah. And so that's what they got into last night, and Minnesota was just on a heater.
Yeah, when you don't have a consistent way to get good shots in the half-court offense, just avoid half-court offense.
Yeah.
Just push the tempo and get good looks that way.
And the way they avoided half-court offense last night was by turning it over.
Yeah.
Even though Minnesota turned it over 20 times, and the Warriors, I think, had 17 listed. That doesn't include team turnovers.
No, if you look at the ESPN box or the NBA box, they'll give you different numbers. Warriors, according to ESPN, turned it over 17 times, Minnesota 20 times.
Mm.
But that doesn't include like shot clock violations, which technically go down as team turnovers.
Yeah, so the Minnesota actually had 21 and the Warriors had 17.
Yeah.
When you look at the official final box, they actually do include those unassigned shot clock violation turnovers, which that's fair. If you're the last guy to hold the ball, you shouldn't get that turnover for
your teammate throws you the grenade with a second left on the shot clock.
Well, that's what they did in game four.
Oh, they did it so many times to start the
third quarter, though.
Oh, my God.
They get the ball to start the third, and Pods winds up with it from 28, and he throws it off the backboard.
If this series happened to go seven games somehow, the Warriors might have set a record for most shot clock violations in a playoff series.
If there is such a record, there probably is.
Somewhere, buried somewhere in some stat book. I'm sure it exists, but not a record that you want to have. Minnesota, I mean, you mentioned they played amazing. They shot amazing. They turned it over 21 times, yet they still scored 121 points. The Warriors took 12 more shot attempts than Minnesota, but Minnesota made 10 more shots. You know how difficult that is? To shoot the ball 12 fewer times, but to make 10 more than your opponents?
Yeah.
That's like unheard of.
Well, the Warriors shot 15 more free throws. They won the rebound battle. They won the turnover battle. And they lost by 11 because Minnesota really shot 63%.
And it wasn't really even that close. 11 doesn't really do it total justice.
Well, it got to 9, and when it got to 9, you're thinking, oh, okay, there might be
a chance.
Might be a little bit of a run. You get this thing inside of 6, and now the pucker factor can start to creep in, but bang, bang, now it's 14, and it's okay.
It's all over at that point.
Yep.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And speaking of the Valkyries, regular season opener, not just for the season, but for the franchise, tomorrow at Shea Center, 7 o'clock versus the LA Sparks. And Dibs, you and I will be in the building getting ready for that game. We'll be live from Chase Center tomorrow, beginning at 1:45 for the crossover, live from the concourse, I imagine, once again.
From the concourse. Confirmed.
Ahead of the first ever Valkyries regular season basketball game.
It's incredible. And I'm a big fan of the sport and the league anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But to be at Chase for the, thank you, first ever Valkyries game, it's not often that you get a chance to be somewhere for the absolute debut of something, and this is going to be incredible
that
to see them out
there.
That
place is going to be packed tomorrow.
No doubt. And you got 17,000 for a preseason game.
On a day of a Warrior playoff game.
Right.
And now the Warrior season is over.
Right. So
can
you
that place hold 30,000? We're going to find out.
Almost 20, I think, right?
I think 20 is capacity, somewhere around.
So you go ahead and lock in Valkyrie Nation now.
Lock in.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. One season comes to an end, but another one coming up tomorrow when the Valkyries kick off their regular season. Okay, let's go back out to the phones, 888-957-9570. You've heard a lot from Steph and from Draymond and from Kuminga and from even Steve Kerr last night. There seems to be a lot of confidence that even though this season ended in the second round, that the Warriors feel like they have a legitimate shot to win a championship next year. Do you share that level of confidence in the Warriors team going forward? Let's go back out to the phones. Up next is Bill in his car. What's up, Bill? You're on with Grandy and Dibs on Willard and Dibs. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great, guys. I've been listening to you relive what might have been, but I think it's time to move on to the future.
All right.
I have a trade proposal. It involves Kuminga. It involves Moody. Kuminga's going to have to be a sign and trade, and Moody, and whatever center the other team wants of our three, And I would like to get back Sabonis and Keon Ellis.
Sabonis and Keon Ellis. Interesting idea there, Bill. Well, so first, it would be Kuminga on a side and trade, Moody a trade straight up, plus any of the centers. I imagine he said any of the three. I imagine he's including Looney. Looney is a free agent.
Right.
So you'd have to sign and trade Looney as well for Sabonis and Keon Ellis from the Kings. I can say off the jump, I don't know if the money works, Dibs, and it's going to depend what the Kuminga contract becomes. The Kings would not trade Sabonis to the Warriors.
Right. So, like, Quentin Post, and who's the third center that I'm missing?
Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Okay. I guess he's a center, I suppose. But he fits better as a power forward, in my opinion. But just a quick aside on Trayce Jackson-Davis, he's got to get in the lab and work on an offensive game. Because right now, he can be a dunker, and end of Trayce Jackson-Davis's offensive ability.
That's about it.
So you need to get some...
I'll set you a mean screen, Dibs.
That's great. And he can, you know, protect the rim a little bit, but he's got to get in the lab and develop some offensive moves, a low post move here or there, a mid-range jump or whatnot. Domas Sabonis makes 43.6 next year, and then 46.7 and 49.9.
That's a lot.
Right. And he's got... I mean, that's 3 years of big, big-time money, and I don't necessarily know if he fits with this team, because you want some shooting, right? We all want more shooting, and he's a guy that the Warriors decided a couple years ago to just stop guarding.
He's got a nice mid-range, but yeah, I don't know how much he can really space the floor.
Bigger point, though, you nailed it. They're not going to trade Sabonis.
And I don't think the money would work out that way either.
Signed Kuminga for 30. And then you threw in Moody, that's 43. That gets you right in the neighborhood. But if you're Sacramento, why would you trade your really effective big man? Yeah. You wouldn't.
Yeah. So that trade from Bill in his car, and love the creativity, Bill.
Love it.
Keep them coming, 8-8-9-5-7-9-5-7-0. The big part of this is, what do the Warriors do with Jonathan Kuminga going forward? That's like, I think, the fulcrum of the Warriors' entire offseason. What happens, whether you let him walk, whether you sign and trade him, whether you just sign him and keep him, that decision has to be made really before anything else for the Warriors can happen, at least anything major. Bobby Marks, maybe the best capologist, NBA capologist in the world.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
of ESPN, Bobby Marks was talking about Jonathan Kuminga and how important just the Kuminga conversation is for the Warriors offseason. Here is Bobby Marks.
Complexities to basically doing a Jonathan Kuminga sign and trade. So, but Kuminga basically plays a significant role as far as what is going to happen this offseason here, because based on where you are financially.
Okay, that's Jonathan Kuminga and Bobby Marks talking about Kuminga and the significant role that conversation has on the Warriors offseason. Here's more Bobby Marks on maybe a team that might be a player for Kuminga.
There's only one team out there, which is the Brooklyn Nets, that can go out and make a significant offer sheet on Jonathan Kuminga.
Okay. That's essentially the only team that has any kind of cap space.
Right.
It's the Brooklyn Nets.
If that's the case and Brooklyn is not interested in offering him, let's just say $30 million as a ballpark, because I think if you get a $30 million offer and you're the Warriors, that might make you blush a little bit, and that might make you think, I don't know if we want to go quite that high. Well, if there isn't another team out there, and he's right, I was just looking at all the cap numbers. I was telling you this during the break. I think Detroit's got around 20 of projected cap space, but the majority of teams in the NBA aren't going to have cap space. Mm-hmm. So if there isn't an offer that comes in for Kuminga, now the Warriors are able to kind of control the way this goes. Either you lowball him and you pay him 20 and you keep him, or you pay him 25 or 30 even, and you work a sign and trade with that salary in mind.
And you might ask yourself, well, why would the Warriors, or why would Kuminga be interested in doing a sign and trade? Just go and sign anywhere. The Warriors haven't done you a ton of favors recently. I wouldn't be shocked if Kuminga feels that way. He said all the right things today at his exit interview, saying his interview or his relationship with Steve Kerr is in a good spot right now, despite some ups and downs. Saying that he thought this was a hugely successful season for him. All the things that he learned was what he referenced, why this was a success. But I would not blame Kuminga if he were to feel a little frustrated by how the Warriors have handled his 4 years. So why would Kuminga be interested in helping the Warriors get something in return for him if he goes elsewhere? Well, it's pretty simple. If the free agent market is kind of dry for Kuminga, just simply because of the fact that there are not a lot of teams that have salary room, have cap space, then what the Warriors can do is sign him. And you mentioned they have his bird rights, so they could sign him for as much money as he could possibly make. And the Warriors can sign him for more than anybody else can, even if other teams have cap space, because they have his bird rights. They could sign him to the most amount that he could possibly get anywhere and then trade him, so he could get all of the money that he's been dreaming of and not be on the Warriors. That's where the interest lies for Kuminga. And as Bobby Marks laid out, maybe the only team that has the space to sign what Kuminga is going to go for are the Nets. And if for whatever reason the Nets are not interested in that kind of money, then Kuminga has a decision to make. Does he want to control where he goes and take a whole lot less money, or maybe have less of a say in where he goes but get more money as a result?
Yeah, and if that's the only team out there that is covetous of Kuminga, they can offer him a lot of money because they have a lot of cap space, and then the Warriors would either match or, you know, refuse to match, and then he just goes to the Brooklyn Nets and you get nothing in return. So in terms of sign and trade for Kuminga, the Warriors are in a pretty good spot, because as well as Kuminga played, and if his value does go up, and it's probably going to be 25 to 30 million per year average annual. Well, if there aren't teams out there that have the room to pay him that, the Warriors are in a good spot to control how this all goes.
Yeah. It will at some point be in the Warriors' court. They know that. No matter what happens, they will have a decision to make. They will not be left holding the pot unless they decide to be left holding the pot. Now, they might get to a point where somebody signs them for more than they're comfortable with and they say, hell no, all right, we're going to lose him for nothing. But that is a decision that they do have the right to make one way or another. Steph Curry, at his exit interview earlier today, was asked about Jonathan Kuminga's future. I thought Steph Curry had a really interesting answer. Let's hear that. Steph Curry on Jonathan Kuminga and his future in the NBA.
He's grown a lot. He's been dealt a very tough hand, to be honest. Like, came in when we were started 18 and whatever, two that year, and he had some moments, but getting in the playoffs didn't really have an opportunity. And we win a championship, and then you run it back. And you know, he's handled his business in terms of just getting better and just trying to focus on what it means to become a better version of himself and the way that he plays, and the fact that he's had playing time and hadn't, and been in rotation and hadn't. Like that's tough for any player, let alone a young guy who's trying to figure it out in the league. So I commend him on just staying ready. Seeing what he did the last couple of games, that's not easy to do, to not know if your button's going to be called or your number's going to be called, and then go out there and perform. So I'm proud of the way that he's handled it. I hope the future is bright for him, whether it's here, whether it's wherever, knowing that he's a guy in this league that can continue to climb that ladder on his own pace. So he's gone through a lot that most people haven't in 4 years, and seen a lot. So hopefully he's better because of it.
That's Steph Curry on Kuminga. A couple of lines stand out, Dibs. Steph said, quote, "He's been dealt a very tough hand, to be honest. He said, I'm proud of the way he's handled it. I hope the future is bright for him, whether it's here, whether it's wherever. And he said, I think he's going through a lot that most people haven't in 4 years." I think those are all true.
Yeah, it's a fact. And that's what happens when you get drafted to a team that's looking to compete for a championship. You don't get to develop the same way that other players do. And I'm thinking about Jalen Green as a great example, where same draft class, and Jalen Green was number two in that draft class, and he was able to develop because they weren't very good in his early days. So go out there and play, Jalen. Play basketball, and we're going to coach you up, and we're going to live and die with all your mistakes as you're a young player who also came from the G League Ignite. So it's a good comp for Kuminga. And you get to year four, and now he's balling, and Houston's a two seed. And, well, he still has a lot of improving to do, but Jalen Green signed an extension. The Rockets saw enough in him, and they're able to go forward with him. Kuminga didn't have that same luxury because you won a championship in year number two, I believe. So, was it year two for Kuminga? No, year one for Kuminga. Yeah, I apologize.
Wiseman's second year.
Right. Yeah. So, same thing with Wiseman. Like, we don't have time to just, you know, let you go out there and play 30 minutes and live with your warts, because we want a win championship. And that is the unfortunate way that it went for JK.
And if you were to ask the Warriors maybe 4 years ago when they drafted Kuminga and Moody and even Wiseman, 4 years from now, Steph's 37. How good do you think Steph is? Maybe they wouldn't have expected Steph to still be this good and for them to still realistically be chasing a title led by Steph. Like, that's a possibility. The Warriors could have just entirely miscalculated on how long Steph was going to be great for.
And I also think that, and they never use this phrase, but two timelines is a phrase that's been used to assign or categorize basically what the Warriors were trying to do. And I think that that is fair to look at what they were trying to do. And even if the core was to last another year or two, you were hopeful that Jordan Poole and Wiseman and Kuminga and Moody, and then now the other draft picks that you've gotten subsequent, you would hope that in 2 years, they would all be ready to not automatically compete for a title, but be good enough to be a core part of what you were trying to do. And for a number of reasons, that second timeline has disintegrated in many ways.
Yeah, it is also interesting. And Draymond said a very similar thing. In fact, I have the quote here specifically from Draymond on Jonathan Kuminga's future. He said, quote, "His future is bright, whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else," almost a word for word what Steph Curry said. "I hope the future is bright for him, whether it's here, whether it's wherever." Oftentimes you get leaders of a team like Steph and Draymond, Dibs, who are asked this question about a player who is entering a free agent summer. And you ask them, like, you know, what do you expect? Like, what's the future for this player? And if they want that player, they desperately need that player on the franchise for the future, for next year, they will say, like, we want him.
Yeah.
Like, we got to sign him. We need him. And I don't know. It seems somewhat telling that neither Steph nor Draymond went as far as saying that. They just said, again, "I hope the future is bright for him, whether it's here, whether it's wherever." That's what Steph said.
Exactly. And I think the writing is mostly on the wall that he's going to probably end up somewhere else. And if you look at the likelihood of him just getting an offer somewhere else and going to that team, it's not very likely. Looking at SpotTrack and the cap space projected for next year, Brooklyn's got $55.7 million projected. Detroit's number two on the list at $24.6 million. So if Kuminga's going to get let's just say $25 million a year, Detroit can't afford him. The only team that could afford him at that number would be Brooklyn. And Brooklyn, they're showing 9 players active for next year. Brooklyn probably needs more than just one player. They probably need 2 or 3.
Who the hell knows what Brooklyn's
doing? Well, I don't think Brooklyn's in win-now mode. No. So maybe they look at Kuminga and think, we love him. We'll give him 30 of our 55 available. And if that's the case, well, then the Warriors might be in a little bit of a spot.
And I think generally the lack of teams with cap room to sign a free agent outright is why the sign-and-trade market is probably going to be the way in which this plays out. Because then you have the ability, any team that is interested in his talent, regardless of cap space, has the ability to approach the Warriors and try to make a deal work. Because you just ship money back to the Warriors and then you could get Kuminga in return.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if Brooklyn offers 25 and the Warriors can pay him 30 and then trade him, and that team would give up $30 million of their own. And if they like Kuminga that much, then the Warriors can control it by, you know, the sign and trade process.
Yeah. So right now on May 15th, if I had to guess, I would guess that there will be a Kuminga sign and trade, but these stories can take unknown turns, and we'll see how it all happens.
Yeah, think Brock Purdy. I mean, we're still waiting for that guy to sign, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, we can start talking about that next week.
Oh, God.
A lot of things we can start talking
Brock,
about.
Figure it out.
Right.
Kyle, Parag, John, get a deal done.
Yeah, we can get into all the stuff that we've been neglecting, like the NFL schedule, which came out, and I don't know if you saw, but the Niners have... they have a 9-day rest advantage.
I saw that.
A rest advantage.
And according to 2024 win-loss records, they have the easiest strength of schedule.
Yep.
In the entire NFL.
We're going to be Super Bowl.
Undefeated? Is that what you're predicting?
16-1. It'll be one hiccup. Okay. Yep.
Who's it going to be against?
I'll let you know next week. Okay, we'll get into it.
888-957-9570. Christian is in Fairfield. What's up, Christian? You're on with Willard and Dibs. It's Grandy in for Willard. How you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
I think Kerr does a great job developing. I don't think the fans understand his job isn't for me. We'll use me because I don't want to talk bad about none of the players. They had a great season, and I'm happy for them. If I had 20 rebounds in 187 minutes, Steve Kerr's job isn't to call me and say, hey, I'm going to shoot around and you come box me out. His job is to teach you how to win. So Andrew Wiggins came here. He never made an all-star team. He was an all-star and a champion. Kevin Durant hasn't won anywhere he's went, played with some of the greatest players ever. He's a champion. So all the Kerr talk to me is crazy talk. So that's all I wanted to say is I'm happy. I mean, I'm disappointed, but when you lose your best player, if the Bulls lose Michael Jordan, they don't win a championship. So I don't know why we thought we were going to win without Steph. And I think the guys played great. I think we can build on Pod's performance. If Kuminga stays, and he works on his rebounding and his defensive rotation, I think he can be a great player. And as far as the offseason, someone like a Brook Lopez and a Malik Beasley, if they keep the youngsters, that would be good because we don't have to get younger. We just got to get a little better. So great show, fellas. Go Warriors, and I'm looking forward to what's up next.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christian.
I like it.
I think Christian brings up a good point in terms of like the Kerr development conversation. You could maybe poke holes in his development record if you want, and I think the Kuminga future is going to be a big argument on one side or the other for that. But one thing that I think Kerr, and maybe this is more of a Warriors thing in general, but Kerr deserves a lot of credit for it, is maybe not necessarily like rookies or young players, but whenever a player comes into the Warriors after not being on the Warriors in their past, they generally play the best that they ever had as Warriors. Like, there's a number of examples of that. Over the course of Steve Kerr's entire tenure, you could go all the way back to Sean Livingston. A lot of that was injury-related, but still, he was by far his best and most effective as a Warrior.
Yeah.
Maurice Spates was his best and most effective.
JaVale McGee, another one, you know?
Resuscitated his career.
Basically,
no one wanted him.
Right, right.
And then he won another ring with the Lakers. Was he on that Lakers team in 2020? I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But signed multiple contracts after that. I mean, Otto Porter a couple of years ago. Nemanja Bjelica a couple of years ago. Maybe development isn't necessarily Steve Kerr's strong suit if you want to go that far, but it does feel like generally you have a player that has kind of bounced around a bit. When they come to the Warriors, they play the best basketball that they have in their career, and Steve Kerr deserves credit for that.
Yes, and I think the whole idea of development is an overrated concept because the individual player has to go out and get better on his own. You have to, like Jonathan Kuminga, for example, if he wants to go out and become a better rebounder, he has to do that. And the caller's right. Like, Steve Kerr can't go to him and say, hey, JK, let's go shoot some shots and you can practice boxing me out. You got to go out there, if you're Kuminga, and look at where the warts are in your game and work on it. Now, having a guy be able to play basketball, sure, that's going to allow him to develop. But Steve Kerr's job, number one job for Steve Kerr or any coach, is to win. Win games. And he has done that at an almost record rate as a regular season and a postseason coach. He's got more than 100 postseason wins. He's one of only, I think, six coaches to earn more than 100 wins in the postseason. So that's his job. And yes, develop young players, that's all part of it. There are many things that are part of it, but this whole idea about development for me is a little foolish because his job is to win, and he's done that.
Almost at a better, higher rate than anybody else in NBA history.
Almost, yeah. Among coaches who have coached more than like 500 games, I think he's third or fourth in win percentage.
And I think only Phil Jackson won 100 playoff games quicker than Steve Kerr did in terms of number of playoff games coached. Number of playoff games coached it took to win 100, only Phil Jackson did it in fewer games than Steve Kerr. Like, yeah. As far as winners go, as a head coach in the history of the NBA, Steve Kerr is up there with the best to ever do it. And so many people out there will say, well, that's because he was gifted Steph and Clay and Dre, and they then acquired Iguodala and Kevin Durant. And, okay, there's obviously some truth to that. If you look at every other great coach in NBA history, guess what? Their rosters are littered with Hall of Fame players right all over the place.
Yeah. He's like, fifth all-time in win percentage among coaches who've coached 500 or more games.
Pretty good. And what's really the top good four?
Phil Jackson is one.
Great.
Billy Cunningham is two.
Oh, okay.
He coached the Sixers all those years. Yeah. He has a 698. Casey Jones is third. And then Red Auerbach is just a little bit above Steve Kerr, who is slightly above Pat Riley.
Wow.
And these are coaches who have coached over 500 games.
Yeah.
Like right now, David Adelman is number one all time. He's 3-0. So there you go. Joe Mazzulla quietly number two.
Yeah.
But he's only coached 246.
Yeah. You got a
full season.
A couple more seasons under your belt, Joe, and then you can join the big boys.
He will. And like I said, postseason wins, he's one of seven. Seven to have 100.
And those are all Hall of Famers, too.
Well, Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, Popovich, Doc Rivers, not quite a Hall of Famer yet. Eric Spoelstra, Steve Kerr, Larry Brown. That's your group.
Yeah, Doc might be the one coach in that group I don't consider a great coach.
He's got the title.
He does.
He does have a title.
Yeah, that's about all he has. Yeah. And then just a lot of jobs.
And a series of blown 3-2 leads.
Blown 3-1 leads, too. I think he might be the only head coach to blow multiple 3-1 leads.
I mean, look.
I'm pretty sure, because he did it with the Clippers. Did you do it with the Clippers twice?
He did it with the Clippers in 2015 when Dwight Howard got him. I think that was a 3-1 lead. I think that's the only time. Oh, no, 2020. Was he the Clipper coach in 2020, or was that Ty Lue? Look it up. Okay. You take a call, I'll look
Let's
it
go
up.
Out to the phones. 888-957-9570. I'm trying to prove that Doc Rivers is a fraud. Dibs is going to help me out. But first, we'll go to the phone lines. Robin is in Los Gatos and wants to join the conversation. What's up, Robin?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good. Trying to come to terms that the Warriors season is over. But all in all, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I was kind of on the same page as you. I think it was still successful, all things considered. I mean, obviously with Steph's injury, I feel a little unsatisfied. But I just had a couple questions for you guys. So I was in hindsight, I know the two timeline approach was the wrong decision. But like at the time, were you guys fans of it? I wasn't really tuning into the show at the time. And I had one more question. If there's a situation where Giannis wants to come here, but we have to move on from like Jimmy, Kuminga, and Draymond, are you guys still interested? Because in my opinion, I think anyone that isn't named Steph is able to go. That's all. Thank you.
All right. I like the questions, Robin. Appreciate you for tuning in. And don't be shy.
Don't be a stranger.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
I'll take the first one first. Two timelines. In the moment, Dibs, when they were drafting Wiseman and drafting Kuminga and drafting Moody, were you a fan of that? Drafting and adding 18, 19, 20-year-old players to this group?
Not really. And I had seen James Wiseman every one of the 40 minutes he played in college. I saw it.
It didn't take a lot to see it.
He only played, I think, three games or two games. And yeah. I didn't like the pick at the time. I didn't really have anybody who was necessarily somebody I absolutely wanted them to take. But the idea of an unproven 18-year-old I thought was a bit of a reach. And then Kuminga was kind of the same thing where, you know, his draft stock was really high, but he was another guy who was unproven. And Moses Moody, you could see out of Arkansas, he's the 14th pick, so less impactful. But once you saw Kuminga play and the athleticism, I was excited. And same thing with Wiseman. Like, you know, he could shoot and he's a big guy who maybe he can shot block, but that thing never got started.
I was always more of a fan of trading the picks for proven players right now to help you win. Now, they ended up winning the 2022 championship, so that kind of made me eat my words, and who knows what player they would have been able to acquire for, say, the Wiseman pick or the Kuminga pick, and if they would still be Warriors now or would have been Warriors past the 2022 season when they won a championship. Maybe, maybe not. The risk you run by doing that, though, is, like, say the Warriors traded the Wiseman pick. They traded the number 2 overall pick in, what was that, the 2020 NBA draft. And they go and, I mean, at the moment it was maybe like Bradley Beal. So maybe they get Bradley Beal. Maybe Bradley helps them win the championship still in 2022, whatever the case is. But then, as has happened, Tyrese Halliburton becomes a star in the league, and then you have everybody upset at the move because you could have had Tyrese Halliburton, but the reality was the Warriors probably weren't going to pick Tyrese Halliburton second overall anyway.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just a whole big what if. I thought generally the safer option was just do whatever you think is going to help the team right now, and generally what's going to help a team right now is not a rookie. It's somebody who's proven that they belong in the league.
Yeah, Obi Toppin is the answer. I was in love with Obi Toppin.
Flyers.
Obi Toppin is who I wanted them to take instead of Wiseman. And, well, it's taken some time, but now he's
Naismith National Player of the Year, if memory serves.
And maybe it was just the highlights. It was the guru in me, the explosiveness. And, well, now he's doing great in Indiana. Yeah. So he's
back
still
to back,
playing.
Right? Eastern Conference finals appearances.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the one. And I don't even remember of these other names in the Kuminga draft. I mean, I could say Franz Wagner, but I'd probably be lying.
Şengün.
Right. I like Şengün, but I don't think that anybody thought to take him in the lottery. I mean, he went 16.
Yeah, he did go 16.
To OKC. I forget about that.
If there's a good player in the league right now, OKC drafted them.
Right.
Yeah.
And, well, the thing about the NBA
draft is
they're
going to continue to draft them.
Every player who gets drafted usually gets traded before the night's over. Yeah. That's the NBA draft.
And if you look at the draft order this year, OKC has their fingerprints on like 8 different picks. They don't own them all, but it had been theirs at one point, or they currently own them.
Before you go back to the phones, confirmed Doc Rivers was coaching in 2020
for
the Clippers.
Blown 3-1 leads for Doc.
Of the 13 ever blown, Doc was coaching 2 of them.
Yeah, and the one championship that he had an amazing roster with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Rajon Rondo and Ray Allen. So congrats, Doc.
Right.
You just have longevity, and you had one really good team that you won a championship with.
Steve Kerr also a blown 3-1 lead.
Yeah. Not 2, though.
Fair.
Not 2. Almost 2, but not 2.
Dude, no doubt.
Almost, but not quite. Back out to the phones we go. 888-957-9570. Skills is in Vallejo and wants to join the convo. What's up, Skills?
Mark, Randy, Dan Dibley. Before I make my main point, I just want to say to each one of you, yo, what's up?
What's up, Skills?
Skills.
Along with every other Warriors fan, I want the Warriors to continue on the playoffs after all the work that they did just to get to the playoffs. But, starting with by not listening to my dumbass to bring in Jimmy Butler, then by finishing with 23 wins in their last 31 games, getting on into the playoffs should have been 24, but they have to go lose to San Antonio that night, which cost me a perfectly good tosser, but that's neither here nor there. these Timberwolves, they're not your mama's Timberwolves, let's put it that way. J.R. Ryder is not their franchise player anymore. They no longer believe Johnny Flynn is superior to Stephen Curry in any way connected to basketball. This team was real. This team was deep. They were healthy, and they were hungry, and they just beat us. But the worst element to me, at least, losing to Minnesota, as I speak to Mark Grandy and Dan Dibley on 95.7 The Game, is the Warriors supporting cast got our fans' hopes up for months, and then let us down when we needed them the most in the playoffs. We didn't need them to, you know, we needed them to be heroes. We just needed to be confident. We needed Moody to shoot the 45% he shot from January to April and not go four entire playoff games without a field goal. We needed Pajinski to shoot the 48% from the field and the 47% he shot from three from March to April, not the 32.7% he shot in the playoffs. We just need a post to be the 46% shooter he was for February to April, not the 33% shooter he was in the playoffs. We weren't asking for much. We weren't asking anyone to do anything they hadn't proven they weren't capable of already doing, Grandy and Dibs. It's not like we were asking Kevon Looney to start dropping sky hooks or Trace Jackson Davis to start raining threes from behind the arc. We weren't asking for any of that. We just needed decent from guys, from those role players and stuff like that. And even minus Curry, I still feel that if we had gotten decent from those guys who ended up being terrible in the playoffs, we might have had a chance. And as for Butler, this is my last point. I'll let you go. I just hope that he wasn't healthy in these last few games after that fall he took in Houston. Because if he was, what we had in him was a $121 million decoy. We had basically a max deal Harrison Barnes out there. And that's the kind of stuff that's going to eat me this offseason. The Timberwolves did beat the Warriors, but in some ways the Warriors beat the Warriors too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Skills.
Rack him.
And technically a very sound phone call.
Savvy,
with a couple of resets in there.
Only thing he was missing was a tease. Up in 30 seconds, I take a shot at Jimmy Butler. But first, you know, he could have teased ahead the shot that he was going to take. But
next time, Skills. Next time.
No doubt. And I do think that Jimmy Butler, whether or not he was hurt or just fatigued.
He was asked about that today in his exit interview and essentially said, yeah, it is what it is. We're all banged up at this point.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to ever come out and just say that. And I respect it. But, you know, you look at the situation, and I think that he is not a decoy. He's more than that, but he, down the stretch of the series, he did not do the things that we're used to him doing that he did back when he was in Miami.
Yeah, Skills was practically like pleading with the Warriors and the Moody's and the Pajemskis and even the Butlers of the world, just do the little things you need to win one game to force this to a game six to get Steph back. I told you at the beginning of the show, Dibs, that my overarching feeling is just disappointment that the season is over. It's also just amazement that one player can have such a profound impact on everybody on a roster. You just take Steph Curry out, and not only does the overall, like the sum of the parts, decrease like by 100%. Like they lose everything. They are nowhere near the same basketball player without Steph Curry as they are with. But it's also each individual player becomes worse. Maybe other than Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga is the only player who gets better when Steph leaves. Everyone else gets worse. And it is amazing the impact that a 37-year-old Steph is still having on this basketball team.
I just didn't think that Jimmy Butler would get that much worse. I thought that Jimmy Butler would still have the ability to get to his spots.
He did in game three, at least.
Oh, he did. Absolutely. But then, you know, game four, the illness, game five, maybe he was lingering. I'm not going to make excuses for him. He didn't make excuses. And I'm kind of with Guru. He said it earlier, like, if you're out there playing, then you get judged based on, you know, you and your standard. And I thought that Jimmy's standard was more of an aggressive score, especially when you lose Steph Curry. Before you go back to the phones, yeah. I have to clarify.
Uh-oh.
Doc Rivers has blown 3-1 leads.
Three of the 13?
We forgot about his time in Orlando. 2003, he was the head coach of the Orlando Magic, which led 3-1 against Detroit.
I knew it.
Tracy McGrady averaged 36 a game through the first four, and then Chauncey Billups came to life. Doc Rivers has blown 3 of the 13.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
As coach.
That makes me happy.
I forgot about Doc in Orlando. And I'll excuse you because you were six. At the time, 2003.
I definitely knew that he coached in Orlando, but I did not remember him blowing a 3-1 lead. Wow.
Yeah, there you have it.
No, the reason why Doc is up there in terms of wins and even win percentage is because he has been a coach forever and, to his credit, has been on a lot of good teams, but at a certain point it becomes a discredit when you've been on that many good teams and only have one championship to show for it.
Yeah, 26 seasons as a head coach. One championship and then one Eastern Conference finals win.
I would imagine the vast majority of those seasons are winning seasons and playoff seasons.
A lot of them, yep.
I would imagine.
Yep, I mean, good run in Boston, that's for sure.
Good run with the Clippers. They always made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They just could never break through against the Warriors for the most part.
And three winning seasons in Philadelphia. Like, he wins games.
He wins a ton of games, except in the postseason.
Yeah, boy.
Or if he does, he follows it up by losing three in a row and blowing a 3-1 series.
Anyway.
We did get a reminder on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line from both the caller who asked us the question and by somebody else. So shout out to both the 510 and the 650. We forgot to answer the caller's second question. He asked about the two timelines and then asked about Giannis. And if memory serves, essentially everybody except for Steph for Giannis, would you do it?
No, absolutely not. And I don't think that, if he wants out, someone is going to trade for Giannis, but you're going to do Draymond,
and...
Well, then you'd have to get other things back because the salaries don't match, but you're going to be looking at Steph and Giannis and Quentin and Pods and Buddy and Pat. Is that what we're doing? I think that... I think you got your big three, and they may not be a big three anymore, but you've got your high-paid three. And you just surround them with everything you possibly can. This is where you're pot committed. I don't think that you can trade Jimmy Butler. So if you trade Jimmy in salary to match Giannis and you give up four first-round picks or however many you're allowed to trade in one deal, then you're basically putting all your eggs in there for Steph and Draymond and Giannis and a bunch of pups. And, you know, what we've seen is one bad thing that happens, you're done. So if you don't get across the finish line in 2 years, now you've completely gutted your future. I'm not here for that.
Mm. It's Giannis, though.
Right. Nice player.
I think I'd do it.
Yeah. Well,
Jimmy. I don't know how to do Jimmy and Draymond. Jimmy for and make the salaries work and a bunch of picks for Giannis. Yeah, I'm doing that. I'm getting my hands on Giannis. Giannis was amazing this year. Kind of gets swept under the rug because the team around him wasn't too good and he got upset in the first round against the Pacers, but I think I'd do it.
Yeah, no thanks.
Means so much more about who Giannis is as opposed to who Jimmy is. Jimmy was a perfect fit on this team, but Giannis is Giannis. I'd be in, but I think it's a fool's errand in general because it's not going to happen. I'll put that caveat on it at the end. Back out to the phones we go. We got a break coming up in a couple of minutes, but let's sneak one more in. Andre is in Oakland. Andre, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy with you today. How you doing, Andre?
What's going on, Dibs and Grandy? How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
For sure, man.
I want to say something that I think teeters on blasphemous. But so before I say that, I think I want to remind Dub Nation of Draymond Green. I think Draymond Green gets a lot of heat. But we, as unique as Steph is, we forget how unique Draymond Green is. I challenge anybody to name any player for 10 years plus at the height of 6'6", who guards seven-footers, becomes a playmaker, can bring the ball up the court, can pass like he does, for years have been triple-double machine with Defensive Player of the Year. Draymond Green has overplayed his ability, and I think sometimes in Dub Nation we forget that, and we forget that nobody has ever done that as a tweener. And at his size. So I think Draymond Green deserves some love. He crashes out sometimes, but I think it's because Steve Kerr sometimes forgets that and wears him out. And so, I mean, anybody at that size guarding Rudy Gobert and Zubac and these Shangoon and these monsters at his size deserves some love. And he's extremely unique in that respect. So we got to remember that. The other thing I want to say that may be a little bit blasphemous is I think it's not a shot at Steve Kerr or Steph Curry, but I think we need to not build around Steph Curry anymore. Shocker, I know. And if you think about it, that's the reason why Jonathan Kuminga hasn't succeeded in this current role. I mean, think about the players at that position, whether it's Jimmy Butler, whether it's Harrison Barnes, even Kevin Durant. The Spurs did it right when Kawhi Leonard came, and they said we're going to feature him now and make the Hall of Famers the secondary players. Nobody's going to want to hear that. But Steph Curry's 37 years old. He's smart enough to find his place when you feature somebody else. Jimmy Butler is smart enough to find his place when you feature somebody else. Draymond Green is smart enough to find his place when you feature somebody else. The move is to not build around Steph Curry anymore. Steph Curry's not getting better. He's amazing. You can argue one of the best players in the history of the NBA. But it's time to not build around him anymore so those other players can shine. That's my take. That's what I think we need to do.
I hear you, Andre.
I appreciate it. I wonder what that in practicality is like. How do you do that? How do you build around him when you don't have a first-round pick this year and you've got $170 million already on the books for next year?
Yeah, it's the example you brought up was the end of the Tim Duncan Spurs and the beginning of the Kawhi Spurs, and that's a great example, except for the fact that the Warriors don't have a young Kawhi on their roster. At least it seems like they don't, and I would be shocked if they did. It's easy when you have, they didn't know it necessarily at the time, a future Hall of Famer, but you have an awesome young player who's ready to take the reins, and you have a player, a Hall of Famer who is getting towards the end of his prime. I would also argue Steph currently is better than Tim Duncan was then, and any young player on the Warriors has not even come close to becoming or to being who Kawhi Leonard was at that point. So I think it's easy to say. I do think, in general, if the Warriors are to try to maximize Jonathan Kuminga, they do need to gear the offense a little more toward him because otherwise you're just wasting the potential that he has. But as long as Steph is still Steph, your best path to winning basketball games is through Steph.
It's your only path.
Yeah. And as we just saw this series.
Right. And, you know, Kawhi that year, I'm just looking at it when they won the title. He was 22. He averaged 12.8 in the regular year. It was in the playoffs where he absolutely exploded, finals MVP, and the rest. So that team was incredibly unique. This Warrior team doesn't have that same level of depth to even begin to try to do that.
No doubt. All right. We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. We got time for a few more of your calls. When we come back, we'll wrap up the day. Plenty more to get into. It's Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.